HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228E P. Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There is hope of extending a four-day pause in fighting between Israel and Hamas. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Hamas is due to release around 11 women and children, while Israel would free 33 Palestinian prisoners. But some disagreements have emerged and there could be a delay.
A suspect is scheduled to be arraigned at court in Vermont today in the shootings of three Palestinian college students in Burlington. One of them is Rich Price's nephew.
The last thing that we imagined could be possible was that in our family neighborhood, they would walk down the street and this would happen to them.
One of those students was seriously injured. Final goodbyes begin today for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. CBS's Peter King has details.
A motorcade will leave Plains, Georgia and end at the Carter Center in Atlanta. Mrs. Carter will lie in repose there, and the public will be able to pay its respects. Mrs. Carter's funeral will be held Wednesday.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state prison in Green Bay is a powder keg waiting to blow. That's according to Alloway Village President Jim Rafter, who says the aging lockup is a danger to the whole community. He says state leaders need to put their differences aside and find a solution.
We need the governor and the legislature to come together and say, okay, we have a problem. That problem is GBCI. It's not safe. And we need to replace it. So what's the best path forward?
Rafter on Upfront on WISN-TV. A woman shot by a deer hunter in Adams County will not press charges. Wisconsin wildlife officials say it happened while the 47-year-old woman was walking her dog on opening weekend. She says the hunter is an old family friend. She even taught him how to hunt. She says it was an honest mistake. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Animal welfare advocates have filed a lawsuit to invalidate Wisconsin's new wolf management plan. The lawsuit alleges state wildlife officials violated open meetings law and disregarded comments from wolf researchers and supporters. It also alleges Department of Natural Resources policy board members accepted comments on the plan from interest groups it favored even after the public comment period ended. The current plan calls for a statewide population of about 1,000 wolves. Republicans in the Wisconsin State Legislature have proposed a bill that would require librarians and school librarians to alert parents about what books kids under 16 years old are checking out. The bill was proposed as a compromise between concerned parents and public libraries, but opponents say these kinds of bills tend to target books with LGBTQ+ representation or books that address diversity or discrimination issues. The bill follows Republican calls for a parents' bill of rights in the state. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Oh, God. Okay.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks with a comeback win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down 26 points, but came back to win 108-102 over the Portland Trail Blazers at Fiserv Forum. It was the largest come-from-behind win in the NBA so far this season. At one point, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo scored on a tip-in, then ran the length of the court and blocked a shot for a basket by Portland. Head coach Adrian Griffin.
He's one of the greatest players to play this game. And he showed it tonight.
The Bucks play in Miami tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers are back at practice today. Their next game is Sunday night at Lambeau Field against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, yesterday, the Chiefs were down 14-0 to the Raiders. They came back to win, though, 31-17. College football, the Badgers finished out the regular season with a 28-14 win in Minnesota. Running back Braylon Allen rushed for 165 yards and scored two touchdowns.
It was good. I'm just happy that we won the game and the team played well.
That's Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Partly cloudy and a little chilly today. We'll get to around 22 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 10 to 20, and that's going to keep the wind chill factor in the single digits here for a pretty good chunk of the day. Clear tonight, 8 above. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 25. By Wednesday, sunny with a high back up to near 39. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside's blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789, broadcasting from Waukesha Studios, WAUK, 540 AM and 101 FM, the show. You know, Calvin, it's always amazing when people who are in a political office are always looking for schemes and scams. And here's one right here. And all these things happen in the state of Wisconsin, or unfortunately far too many times. Here's one. Here's a legislator. Her name is Barbara Dietrich. And she's a Republican from Oconomowoc. And so she's come up with what she feels is a game winner or a bright idea that all schools, all librarians and principals should monitor every book that kids are reading in the libraries. Just try to wrap your mind around what it would take for librarians and educators to keep track of the books that each individual student is reading. Now, you know, for some, I guess they may say, well, that makes sense. But Calvin, try if you just said, five students, but she said all students, and that we need to monitor those things. So she's crafting a law that she believes is necessary. Your thoughts?
Well, at least when I was in school, the school library worked like the public library. You still had to check the book out. The library was aware that you had the book. So I'm not totally sure where this monitoring is going to occur. Like, shouldn't the library already know what books are in the library and then know what books are taken out of it?
So how are you able to figure that out?
I mean, it just seems like common sense to me.
Opponents of such restrictions at a time, here it is. Young people, use of libraries would face increased scrutiny under the Republicans' bills being considered in the Wisconsin legislature. At a time when some states are passing restrictions on the kinds of materials that students can access, the bill's author said she views the plan as a compromise between concerned parents and public libraries. Opponents of such restrictions said they tend to target books that deal with LGBTQ themes or issues of diversity or discrimination. The Wisconsin proposal would require librarians and school librarians to alert parents about what kids under 16 are checking out. Now, I could just see the conflict brewing between certain camps and the librarians, said Representative Barbara Dietrich of Oconomowoc. I'm in an interview with WPR. I'm a huge supporter of libraries. I love our libraries, and literacy is important to me. And I thought there's got to be an easier way to solve this problem. What problem? A problem that you created. There doesn't need to be a solution. And now all of a sudden to demand that librarians somehow monitor what all kids under 15 are reading and keep track of it and send that information to the parents is ridiculous. It's not an issue that needs to be solved. It's not an issue. But once again, we've got a person who's in political office who's looking to gain brownie points. Deal with some of the real issues that exist in the society. And then you don't get caught trying to deal with something like this where you get brownie points from people who think it's important to try to ban what people have a constitutional right to, and that's freedom to read the things that they want to read. Let's go to the phone lines and Katrina from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Katrina. Here's a person that's an elected representative who thinks that she's coming up with a bright idea that librarians and schools have to monitor every book that a 15-year-old is reading and then pass all that information on to parents. Why?
Well, there's a complete BS, one, because I agree with Calvin that system already exists. That only thing what I'm thinking about is that there is somebody who developed like a cheap system or something to trace and put page 14 or 13 or 10 on the books, and when the students are checking them out, like in the pharmacy, if there is some sort of medication, what would need to be monitored, they're asking you for an ID, scanning it out and making sure that you are age appropriate to this book. But my confusion coming from, it's already existed. It's existed here. It's existed in any library. You come to the library, doesn't matter where it is, you sign the book for specific time with your name, and you are in your school. You're absolutely right. She's just making something out of absolutely nothing because she has nothing else to do.
Well, they've created this parent's bill of rights. And as a parent, my sons are 40 and above, except for my youngest one, who's about 37. I'm still a parent. And so when people say, well, you need a parent's bill of rights, I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, the library books. Calvin, there's a person called a librarian who has to okay books that come into the schools. Am I right?
Yeah, I would think so.
And Karina, a librarian is a licensed person. As a librarian is not just, you know, a radio talk show host who they bring in to OK Books, somebody who knows nothing about any of those things. It's a person who is trained and understands what it is and what's age appropriate for kids. Is it safe to say that, Karina?
Yes, and when Republicans are talking about abortion, they talk about fetus as a person and the freedom, personal freedom in the Constitution. But for some reason, the personal freedom, a freedom of a child, falls off. So the fetus has a personal freedom, and I cannot do stuff to my body because that freedom belongs to my fetus. But yet, children do not have a personal freedom.
Karina, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. The bill comes at a time when Wisconsin Republicans are again proposing what they call a Parents' Bill of Rights, which would, among other things, give parents the power to review instructional materials for their kids. Taken together, the legislation amounts to intimidation on librarians and educators, all under the guise of parental rights, argued Casey Meehan, the Freedom to Read program director at PEN America, which advocates for free expressional rights. And so those all speak to efforts to intimidate what type of books are being provided to students in schools, with the gross misunderstanding that books in schools are obscene or pornographic. By any colloquial and legal definition, Megan said, there are already restrictions on providing obscene material in federal regulations. Now, at the root of all of this, the books, for the most part, that they are banning are books on LGBTQ and books about people of color. That's clearly what's at the root of what is taking place. The proposed regulators on Wisconsin libraries come amid a wave of state-level policies targeting what students read and learn in the last 3 years. Her organization identified 110 bills proposed across the country that would restrict how subjects like race and gender and sexuality are addressed in schools. The group also found that 1,477 instances of books that were banned across the country in the first half of 2022-2023 school year, many of those books address race or racism or LGBTQ characters or themes. That's what's at the root of it all. And so you got to call that out for what it is. And I know in many instances people don't want to call it out for what it is, but what else is it? When at the root of what the books are being banned are race, issues of race, and racism, and LGBTQ. Those are the books, for the most part, at the root of all of this. We'll return in a few minutes. Got to pay some bills. Hang on. We'll be right back. Merry Christmas. Merry, Merry Christmas. Hey, hey, hey. Merry, Merry, Merry. Mm-hmm. Oh.
This is 93.5 The Tap. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's talking about a bill that has been crafted once again in the Wisconsin State Legislature that is directing librarians and schools to track you know, the books that 15-year-olds read, and then send that information to the parents of those children. This is a bill that is authored by Barbara Dietrich, a Republican of Oconomowoc, and it is a part of this constant parents' bill of rights that has created all sorts of mayhem. As if somehow, you know, children are being led down the primrose path. Again, as a parent, you know, I don't see it from that perspective. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Holidays to you. Good morning, Earl.
Likewise.
Happy holidays to you. It's just another divide and conquer strategy. I should say we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. But people need to stay in their lane. People go to school to be professionals, to actually deal with children. Parents can deal with their children at home, but if they're sending them to a public school, these people are trained professionals. They know all about how to actually deal with human beings and deal with children. That's what they go to school
sometimes
for.
Sometimes more so than the parents themselves.
Yeah, I don't see any, parents going in and telling a doctor how to operate on someone, or how, an accountant goes in and shows them how to do accounting or anything like that. So just everybody stay in their own lane, number one. Number two, this comes from, because I always want to source my person or group where I got the reference from, but the Guardian magazine or the Guardian Online, here's one. Moms for Liberty leader.
Yes.
Child sexual abuser. Is it a surprise? They're also a pastor too. Isn't that amazing? And then here's the other one. Moms for Liberty Allies made an egregious $700,000 payout to an outgoing MAGA superintendent. Now, again, it goes back to money and politics. It goes back to divide and conquer. If anybody would like to see, because I listened to also the incredible Busted Pencils radio show that can be seen or heard on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock LA time, 7 o'clock Wisconsin time. But they were talking about where they get these titles. So if anyone would like to check them out of their hit list, it's Books, B-O-O-K-S, Lux, L-O-O-K-S, .org. And you'll see some of the books that they are
banning, right?
Banned, or what is on their hit list. These people are ridiculous. They have no time. They have too much time on their hands. And this is exactly what happened back in the 30s, with Hitler and all the book burning that happened then. They want to make one thing. Here's the thing I don't get, Earl. You have conservatives that call up and saying how kids don't know how to read. Kids don't know how to read anymore, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Maybe if there is a book that actually has some sexuality to it, you might get more kids reading books.
You know, Tom, you mentioned Dr. Tim Slecker, who comes on these airways with Busted Pencils. No better show than Dr. Tim Slecker, whom I've known for a number of years. And it is so good to have him on our airways. And if you haven't listened to Dr. Tim Slecker and Busted Pencils, and Kevin, I don't know when he airs. Is Wednesday, I think you said, Dr.
Tuesdays at 7.
Tuesdays at 7. Dr. Tim Slecker and what he does is phenomenal. So, yeah, I'm glad you listened to him. Others should listen as well, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to CJ. Go ahead, CJ.
Thanks for taking my call, Earl. Again, it took COVID for parents to discover the indoctrination that is going on in our public schools. And the mere fact that you're upset that parents are being exposed to what our kids are being exposed, their kids are being exposed to, I think speaks louder about
CJ, let me say again, you think it somehow makes sense that librarians should be monitoring what every kid is reading 15 years old and under and report that to parents? You somehow think that makes sense, so people can listen to this from your perspective and see if that makes sense itself? Because that's what you're supporting.
My perspective is that parents deserve to know. You want to hide it.
Hey, CJ.
Your party wants
CJ, they deserve to know. Again, you're saying that it makes sense that a librarian has to track and monitor every 15-year-old student, what they are reading, and report that back to parents, because that's what the bill entails. You support that, I take it.
I support parents knowing, Earl. You don't.
Thank you very much for the call, man. Okay? I mean, that's what we're talking about. He totally ignored the bill. The bill is going to bring an undue burden on a librarian to somehow think that a librarian is supposed to track every 15-year-old kid and what they are reading and then pass that information on to parents is nonsensical. And so people who support that kind of thing, you know, really need to be challenged on that, right? That's a nonsensical bill to somehow put that kind of burden on a librarian, Calvin, that, you know, easy for somebody like CJ to say, yeah, well, that's the way it should be. But that's an impossible thing to do, right?
Yeah, if you have a high school with 800, 900 kids, and that's supposed to all freshmen and sophomores have to have their books checked in with their parents, that seems a little
unrealistic. Yeah, it's far-fetched. Listen, we've got to take a little hiatus, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about some positive things for the rest of the show. Mark that down. Positive things on the Earl Ingram Show. Don't go too far. I want you to hear some of these things.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin commuters say a second Amtrak round trip from St. Paul through Milwaukee to Chicago will make their lives easier. Passenger Christian Bird speaking with ABC News.
It would be easier to leave in the afternoon because it's kind of like herding cats when you're getting a little kid out the door.
The second route is expected to launch sometime next year. Some Wisconsin lawmakers want to make it illegal for most stores not to accept cash. A committee of the Wisconsin Assembly will hold a hearing on the bill tomorrow. Supporters say the idea is to make sure people who don't carry credit or debit cards can still buy what they need. Many places went cashless during the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Annual state park and forest admission passes and trail passes are now on sale in Wisconsin. An annual sticker on a car will allow residents access to state parks and recreation areas across the state. Wisconsin residents can buy the annual admission sticker for $28 and the annual state trail pass for $25. The Department of Natural Resources also recommends purchasing the passes before December 8th to allow them time to deliver the pass in time for a holiday gift. Wisconsin drivers are expected to hit as many deer on the roads this year as they have in each of the past 3 years. According to a WPR report, the chances of hitting a deer on the Wisconsin roadways are still higher than they were 15 years ago, and there likely won't be any big change this year. Department of Transportation officials say the state is on track for about 16,000 crashes in 2023. There have already been 11,000 deer crashes as of mid-October, and most occur in November and December. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Bucks with a comeback win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down 26 points, but came back to win 108-102 over the Portland Trail Blazers at Fiserv Forum. It was the largest come-from-behind win in the NBA so far this season. At one point, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo scored on a tip-in, then ran the length of the court and blocked a shot for a basket by Portland head coach Adrian Griffin.
He's one of the greatest players to play this game. And he showed it tonight.
The Bucks play in Miami tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers are back at practice today. Their next game is Sunday night at Lambeau Field against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, yesterday, the Chiefs were down 14-0 to the Raiders. They came back to win, though, 31-17. College football, the Badgers finished out the regular season with a 28-14 win in Minnesota. Running back Braylon Allen rushed for 165 yards and scored 2 touchdowns.
It was good. I'm just happy that we won the game and the team played well.
That's Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle. We're out there.
Partly cloudy and a little chilly today. We'll get to around 22 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 10 to 20, and that's going to keep the wind chill factor in the single digits here for a pretty good chunk of the day. Clear tonight, 8 above. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 25. By Wednesday, sunny with a high back up to near 39. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. All our awesome farmers market and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to start a new segment that I want to do at least once a week. And so, certainly across this state, there are good deeds that are being done. And I want to share them throughout the state, throughout all of the radio stations of civic media that we are a part of, and want to make sure that people get to feel the goodness that's still around in people. Everybody's not an ogre, and there are people who are doing great deeds, and I think they need to be captured. And so, Calvin, what's the best way for people to contact us if they have a story or something that I'd love to be able to tell over the airways? I don't know what would be the best way.
Well, you can always call the call-in number. I'm on the board from 8 to noon and then on the board again from 2 to 4, and I can always get the information to you. Besides that, I know we have an email. Give me 1 second. I can find
it. So that's what I'm going to be doing, and Calvin and I, is we're going to bring in some great stories, the human side of things that sometimes gets lost in all the other things that we're dealing with. Here's one. I'm a treatment foster parent. My wife and I have been treatment foster parents for over 20 years now, and so here's a story. For some children in foster care, turning 18 without being adopted is a worst-case scenario. Such was the case for Roman Ballesteros, who was one day shy of his 18th birthday when he was finally adopted by a family he'd met as a preteen. The couple, Brad and Renee Ballesteros, officially made him a part of their family this past Tuesday at the Clay County Historic Courthouse, about 40 miles southwest of the city of Jacksonville, Florida. Although his adoption was confirmed by Taylor County, Florida on Zoom, they wanted to give the teenager a real in-person experience at a courthouse close to them in Clay County. We wanted to kind of set up that environment so that it felt more monumentous to him than just kind of sitting in our house on Zoom in the kitchen. So there's just a plethora of children who are waiting for somebody to care, somebody to make them feel whole. Somebody to open their arms and welcome them and say, hey, you deserve a shot at life, and we're going to give it to you. And this family, the Ballesteros, have done just that for this young man who's soon to be 18 years old. And the reason it's so important that they did it is because once you turn 18 years old, you age out of foster care. It doesn't matter how long you've been in foster care, you will age out, and then it's basically casting you to the wolves and saying, you know, we've done all we can as the government for you. You're now on your own. And it's a cold, cold world for somebody who doesn't have family and who has been supported by the foster care system. And that's all they've known. And now once they turn 18 years old, they're cast out on their own. So, man, kudos to this family who saw this and knew this is a young man they had in their care many years before when he was a young preteen, and they had never forgotten. And even though he's turning 18 years old, they brought him into their home and said, you're going to be a part of our family. I mean, I'm going to, you know, give them an applause because this family is not, you know, from a different planet. They're not superhuman beings. They're just like you and I. And they had this in their hearts. And I'm always going to be a person who's going to fight for and speak for foster children and special needs children and all of those children that we kind of forget as a society who through no fault of their own wind up in a system that they didn't get a chance to pick the families that they had. And so now they live their lives in a difficult way. Hoping and praying that somebody would step forward and give them what all of us deserve, and that's a family. I couldn't begin to imagine what it would be like to not have a family to call your own. Like I said, man, I'm from a family of 13 with a mother and father that were married for 66 years. And whoever and whatever I am, is because I had that kind of stability in my life. Well, guess what? There's so many other children out here who are experiencing that exact same thing. And if you can find it in your heart, you know, to you know, make a difference in their lives, you know, I'm always going to support and those and say that it can be done. And what I will tell you, is that it changes you. It changes your life. It changes your view on things, right? Especially things. We struggle most of our adult lives trying to acquire things that we can't ever take with us. You know, I was reading a story the other day about a guy had plenty of money and he passed. And Calvin, they buried him in a gold-plated coffin. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard you.
Hey, a gold-plated coffin. And I don't believe that whether or not the coffin was gold-plated or it was a wooden box, the contents of what's in that box or the gold-plated coffin is the same. It is the remains. But, you know, when we look at things from the perspective of he who has the most gold in the end wins, then people get buried in gold coffins. Let me go to this one. There's another great story that I think people should know about. Young boy in Hillsborough County called the sheriff. And he's an 8-year-old boy. And he called 911. And he called 911. You want to know why he called 911, Calvin?
Why is that?
8-year-old boy. He needed a hug. He was bereft of the kind of love that an 8-year-old child should automatically have. He was not getting it from where he was. Can you imagine an 8-year-old boy picking up a phone and calling 911 because he needed a hug? Now, you may say, you can't call 911. That's a waste of. But it's the fact that a young child like that was not getting that from where he was. And the fact that the law enforcement officer came, Calvin, gave the young boy a hug and said to him, explained to him what, 911 is for. The young boy said he understood, but he needed a hug at that point in time. That doesn't sound like much, but that tells a story. It tells a major story of the human condition and what we need to do as human beings to connect with other human beings. We sometimes don't realize what others are going through. But sometimes all it takes, as I always say, is a kind word and a hug, and you can change the trajectory of a person's life. And that certainly took place in that young boy's life. I want to talk about this story. And this is one. Now I'll hold that for a second. Here's a mom and a daughter who are both battling cancer. And I don't know. I happen to be one of those who believe that all of us at some point in our lives are going to have to deal with cancer in some form. Some way, shape, or form, we all going to have to deal with cancer, whether it's in the latter years of our lives or if, it occurs, unfortunately, for people, in the younger years of their life. I think all of us, not one of us, don't know a loved one, somebody, uncle, cousin, niece, nephew, brother, sister, mother, father, child, who has not had to deal with the scourges of cancer. Here's a story of a mom who was battling cancer, and she also, a 26-year-old woman in Washington, D.C., is rejoicing with her mom that the 26-year-old daughter who had been battling cancer, her mother's cancer, all of a sudden found out that she had cancer. And the both of them together, through many prayers and people praying for them, are both in remission. At the same time, the remission happened for both of them. Danielle Draper was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2022 after she tried to become a stem cell donor for her mom, Kristen Draper. Kristen had been diagnosed with myelofibrosis, a rare blood cancer, the year before. As part of the donor process, Danielle had to get a chest x-ray done. The nurse said, "We've never had anyone have a problem. It's just a formality," said Danielle. So we took the chest x-ray, and then the doctor came in with this very serious look on his face. And he found out that the daughter had the same cancer that the mom had. The scan identified a large mass near her heart, which was later found to be a tumor. Not only did he rule her out as a potential donor for her mother, but she also had to share the devastating news about her own health. The look on her face, it was just harrowing, said Danielle, referring to the moment she told her mom, "I never want to see that look on her face again." We'll continue the great stories on the other side. 844-967-2789. As I said, we want you to be able to call us and let us know great stories around the state, and we'll share them with the listening audience.
93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show, Monday edition of the Earl Ingram Show at 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, the Shaw Studios. Talking about just some good stories, you know, some real heartfelt stories of people overcoming, you know, it's that time of the year. And again, if you have some stories that you think should be told, let us know. 844-967-2789, and I will make sure that we will broadcast that across the airways. Here's another story. A teenager in Alabama was chosen as a high school's homecoming queen, but it was her father who won every heart in the stadium as he escorted her in the midst of battling a debilitating form of cancer. "I was holding him as tight as I could," said 17-year-old Sakati Yancey. "Every 10 steps, I would look over and I was like, are you okay? Can you make it? Do I need to get somebody to come get you?" Her father, Brett Yancey, has stage 4 metastatic esophageal cancer. He requires an oxygen tank and just days before had experienced a seizure and leg paralysis. But when he found out Sereka, his youngest daughter, had been nominated for homecoming queen, he was determined to walk her across the football field for the ceremony. Just like all other dads. You know, the human spirit is unmatched. And it's amazing that we have this great human spirit. But sometimes many of us don't even realize we have it. And we go through our entire lives without, you know, realizing that gift. This man, he wanted to prove that he was going to stand up for her and prove that I had the character to show that I was going to be her backbone, said Brett, 47. During that moment, I was having to tell each leg, we'll take one foot in front of the other and walk. And it was frustrating and scary. But you know what? He made it across that football field with his daughter after having his legs basically shut down. He wanted to show how much he loved his daughter. And in spite of all of his maladies, it wasn't about him. You know, he clearly is facing a life and death illness. But the human spirit that dwells in each and every one of us is there in you as well. Part of the reason why I want to do these kinds of stories, especially during this holiday season, is so people really understand, you know, what this time of the year is really about. And it shouldn't just be this time of the year. It's something that we have the capacity to do every day. Make a difference in somebody else's life. These stories that I just got through talking about is only a snippet of the stories that are out there. And in times like these, we need to be uplifted and to realize that all is not lost. We haven't all completely lost our minds, and that there are some of us, not really all of us, who really have the capabilities of changing and transforming other people's lives. And sometimes I hope that what comes out of what we're going to be doing with these stories is uplifting you. Maybe in your life, you know, you may be at a point where, you know, you need to be uplifted. And so, you know, through this radio station, across all of these vast radio networks that are called civic media, we'll mobilize these stories and we will give you a respite, if only for a moment. So thank everybody who took the time out to listen. Thank you, Calvin, as always. I don't know where the time went, but thank all of you. And it's time for the season. And we're going to be doing that more and more and more. Thank you all. Up next, Jane Metinier, sitting in for Christian Bry. And
Craig Bach as well on As Goes Wisconsin.
As Goes Wisconsin. All right. See you guys later.
Merry little Christmas.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.